Stoneface Films Podcast is right around the corner. But just before we get into the show, a quick word about our sponsors, Loot Crate. Loot Crate is the number one mystery subscription service for all your geek and nerdy pop culture needs. Every month for just €23.65, you get a mystery box full of nerdy and geeky wares. Guaranteed value of €45. So you're making money by getting this. This month's theme is Build, which includes favorite little bits from Batman, Lego Dimensions, Power Rangers, Tetris. When you're going to sign up for Loot Crate, visit lootcrate.com/stoneface. Let them know that we have sent you there. And what's more is we can give you a little code. The code is BADLADS, which will give you a little bit of a discount because, you know, we're sound like that. Loot Crate. Now, on to us.
I would say... give me one of them, I'll have one of them bubbling juices.
A bubbly juice.
A bubbling,
a bubbling juice, please.
A BJ, please.
It's the as of yet untitled Stoneface Production Committee Hour podcast, maybe longer than an hour.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Stoneface Films podcast. My name is John Hosier, Burn Creative Director at Stoneface Films, and with me, as always, the comedian. He almost couldn't be here today because he was smelling toast and having strokes. It's David Riley.
Hello, folks.
Welcome to Stroke Talk.
Stroke Talk.
For those of you who didn't listen to the first episode, apologies. Also with us today, and we are delighted to have him.
Uh-oh.
It's playing for time, Buckaroo Banzai from The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai. Purportedly, Carson Beckett. Carson Beckett, the engineer of Sentinel Audio Productions. How you doing, Rob?
Yeah, not too bad.
Carson Beckett. Anyone?
Beckett's son, Samuel Beckett's son.
No, unfortunately. Yeah.
Carson Daly's creator.
Engineer from Stargate Atlantis, the spin-off.
Ah, I've never
the
watched it.
The one with
it.
Robert Carl. No, the
no,
one
that
with
was Stargate
that was
Universe.
The one with
which was just a rip-off of either Voyager or Battlestar Galactica. Take your pick.
Probably both.
Atlantis is the one with Terminator 2 in it. He's in the first episode. He's one of the
Terminator 2.
Robert Patrick.
Oh, right. Yeah, well, yeah, I think he is,
he's
actually.
He's a security guard.
Yeah.
And then Jason Momoa comes in the second
That's
season.
Right, That's right, yeah. I think he's in the first season.
Oh, is it? I've only watched the first two episodes with you. That was when we finished Stargate. We're like, let's move on to this.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not.
It's not good. It is not good. Fucking Sam Shepard. Like, get fucked.
We went the whole first episode like, talking about space.
Why does every white protagonist, white male, 30-something, brown-haired protagonist have to be called Shepard? Like, are you so desperate for a Jesus analogy?
Yeah, they are.
That fucking Lost.
Yeah.
Stargate.
Mass Effect.
Mass Effect.
The Job.
Is that a thing?
From
Shepard.
Firefly.
No, just The Job. As in, someone is a... The Pie.
Oh. I'm going to actually look up, right?
It's called Shepard.
TV characters.
Let's introduce our guests first, and then we do...
That's the... very fair. they call him the Shepherd. You know him from his outstanding social media presence. You know him from his writing. You know him from his stand-up comedy in Dublin and around the world. It's Mr. Martin Angolo.
Hi.
How you doing, Martin? How are you?
Good, pretty good.
Did you have a nice break?
A lovely break. Yeah, I had a Kit Kat. Sure. Why not?
Who's your favourite Shepherd, Martin?
Yeah, Shepherds.
I like the pie.
Pie fan?
Pie fan. I do like Shepherd's pie.
What is shepherd's pie? It's lamb, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then cottage pie is beef.
Alex Shepherd, lead character in Silent Hill. Derek Shepherd from Grey's Anatomy and Private Practice. Amelia Shepherd. General
Shepherd
from Call of Duty. Jason Shepherd is the main protagonist of Big Fat Liar, which I'm not familiar with.
St. Patrick is Shepherd?
He was. Yeah.
I'll pick him.
You pick him?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm now intrigued by why cottage pie is where it got its name from.
It's because that's where you keep the cows.
In the cottage. Or is it the cottaging of...
Yeah, it's cottages.
Cottaging, yeah.
You need to keep your energy up. You need that protein.
Jack Shepherd from Lost, Adrian Shepherd from Half-Life. It's enough Shepherds, lads. John Shepherd from Stargate.
Dak Shepherd from Punked.
Principal Shepherd from Degrassi, The Next Generation. Commander Shepherd from Mass Effect. Tim Shepherd from The Outsiders. Shepherd apparently is a character in Marvel Comics. Jenny Shepherd from NCIS. People, fucking writers need to figure out a new metaphor for fucking Jesus analogies. Yeah. They really do. Carpenter, lads.
Yeah.
Very
Carpenter.
Easy.
Carpenter. Oh.
Yeah, there you go.
Jesus.
John.
Make everyone.
John Carpenter, not as in, oh, yeah, I'm Jesus. That's not what I was going with that.
Jesus Shepherd. That's going to be the character I use in everything ever.
Freddie Shepherd, businessman and chairman of Newcastle United.
Yeah, get your shit together, Freddie Shepherd's parents.
Go on the tune. Tune on me. That's my Newcastle supporter after he has a stroke. Speaking of football, actually, and if you don't mind, I don't know, Martin, are you a football man?
No, not particularly. No.
That's all right. Yeah, just sit tight there for a second. We'll come to you now in a moment.
Real quick. Oh, yeah, you go on. I was going to ask what PE was like, Oscar Elga.
I mean, it's the same.
Oi, Dodgley Roddy.
A lot of that. Because all you really do during PE is yell at someone's surname or here.
Yeah.
McCown.
Yeah, I think we'd still say here and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it wasn't a big deal.
In our fantasy football league, right, I just want to jump over to fantasy football watch. Rob, can you drop in a fantasy football watch sting there?
Sure.
Okay, how do you reckon it's going to...
Fantasy.
Very good.
Football.
It was the local derby, and Donna was up against Killian. I was up against you, David. What you got to say for yourself?
I told you on Saturday you had it.
I was delighted.
I was like, nah, your subs are going to come on. It's a 6 this point. Is how it's going to play out.
6 point game, like, right above me in the
table. And I said you were
going
to pip me, and you were like, nah.
Delira. 6 points for our old Kolarov.
Yeah.
Ferguli comes on because Callum's injured. Ah, oh, delighted.
That was the one I, yeah. Rob, how'd you get on?
Yep.
Rob has, I've been meaning to ask.
Rob's
you.
Won one game all season.
Yeah. All season.
Yeah, it doesn't look good. The
out
bottom
of
the table.
20 something.
I'm third from the bottom of the table with 30 points. Third from the bottom of the table of a 14 team league. Right. 30 points, third from the bottom. Rob is bottom of the table with 3 points.
Who's second bottom?
Greendale Human Beings by Shane Jackson. And he's got 28 points. And he straight up called me a dick because I jumped him. Which is very entertaining.
Like this week I was fighting. We're
fighting.
Fighting.
They're bound to just start throwing digs at this point.
Rob, I was we need to have a chat about your team. You're up against Leo McKeever,
the Inaccessible Islanders.
Yeah.
So he got
half of your team are ghosts. Half of your team have not played football in 20 years. Ivanovic, Company, Dariqua, Berg Gundesman, Josh Sims. None of these, Giroux plays occasionally, Zabaleta and Terry. Terry, I think, has retired. Like,
so it's not like the normal fantasy team where everyone can have the same players. It's like a draft system.
Okay.
There's only one of each footballer, right. And we all share, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Rob isn't in the football, so...
No.
Was picking people based on, like a guy called Isaac Success, who was like, I'm going to take you.
Because he has since left my team.
Yeah.
10 shepherds on his team.
Genuinely, Rob, if you don't want to lose consistently, you'd want to get more than... I'm just looking at your team now. Of 11 players, 6 played. And the rest of them did not play whatsoever, and that's including your bench.
Yeah.
You might want to make a few trades.
Dip into the waivers.
Dip into the waivers. You must be high up enough on the waivers at this stage.
I think I'm top of the waivers.
I'd say you probably are.
I was bottom of the waivers last week, and I still got 2 waiver picks this week.
Yeah.
So...
Like, David, you said before that you're pretty sure that some of these people are made up.
Yeah, Berg Goodmanson.
Yeah, Berg Goodmanson.
Their name somebody has thumbtacked to a wall when they're trying to investigate voter fraud, and they're like, Berg Gunderson, Sims? And then they look out the window and see a graveyard, and they're like, Sims, Berg, oh my God.
I think you were unfortunate with Josh Sims because he's played like 14, 16 minutes a game.
Yeah.
But he got a thing on Match of the Day where they broke down like, oh, look at this new kid. He's going to be the new big thing. He's going to be fantastic. And now he's not really done anything since.
But then in the odds-on league, I'm still 50 points ahead of Davey. So
and I must burn David. I must really sting.
Because so I auto picked my team in and this I one. Didn't care.
Yeah. I was like top three for the first few weeks. I was like, yeah, I'm doing all right.
Yeah, when Negredo kept scoring goals.
And then it just sort of tanked us. So now,
now you're right above me. I'm coming for you.
Yeah, so it could be relegated. So the bottom three teams, if they want to play next year, have to be call themselves a different thing. So we have to be, I don't even know, oh, my team are Pokemon and Go, because there was a footballer called David and Go.
Okay.
And Pokemon Go was popular when the team was set up.
Kansas City Shufflers.
No. So it's going to be a lot of rebranding. So I think Cooper Church.
Oh, yeah, no. Like, we could put planning permission into
the new stadium. Yeah.
No, you're
already starting
relegated.
The rebrand. Like, what? the banners had been taken in, changing out the, you know, the seats that make the pattern in the stadium.
Remember when Shell put oil all over the sea?
Yeah.
And then they were like, let's just change our name real quick.
No one will notice.
It's pretty much that.
Yeah.
We're all going to be Mobile or whatever they became.
I don't know, Rob.
Exxon,
I don't know. Do you want to play next year?
Like? Oh, absolutely. But the thing is, though, I ended your losing streak.
That's true. I mean, he's very much a charitable team.
If anything,
that was a 9-match losing streak up against Rob.
It was rough.
Blip.
If anything, I'm the morale boost.
Yeah, yeah. I said this to John the Carr. You're the Neelix of the league.
I'm just here. It's just like, have a win.
Oh, dear. I wanted to talk about, remember we were asked a question years ago now. David, I don't think, was on the podcast that episode, but we talked about what our ideal recasting of if we were doing a new Star Trek.
LK was on that episode. She said Beyonce.
Yeah.
She did. She said Beyonce as the science officer.
Yeah.
Which was bollocks.
No, man.
I could see her as a pilot. I could see her as like a balls to the wall pilot. If you're gonna have Beyonce, because Beyonce can act. She's all right.
Martin, are you in Star Trek?
Not really. No.
You in a sci-fi?
I'm two for two. Not football. Into Beyonce. Star Trek. I'm familiar with
her work.
Familiar with Beyonce. And I'm familiar with Star Trek to a degree.
Yeah. But I just don't... I don't think she reads as a scientist. I just don't think it'll play. Scientists need to be compensating for something. If you're that pretty, you don't end up in the sciences. You know what I mean? General rule of thumb, like.
Yeah, same with Camogie.
Camogie.
I didn't want to say it.
Camogie.
All right, what's the agenda here?
He's been burned too many times.
Too much.
It's amazing. So many people are running to their laptops to Google Camogie now.
Inevitably spelling it wrong.
Yeah. For what it's worth, it's lady hurling.
For you.
Not throwing ladies.
Yeah, never.
It's like a caber toss, but with dames.
Go lady hurling. I'm just excited because of the casting for Discovery. And also, I'm very tempted. If I had more time... I was playing around with this in my head, right, the other day. It's not something I'm going to do, but I'd love to do, like, an all-Irish version of Star Trek. Like, even just take... Go on. It's been done, has it?
So, in Storyland a few years ago, Storyland is the RTE... people put in... Mm-hmm. Sure, I'm just expecting for listeners. You put in a short series thing, and it was voted on, whatever. There was a Cavan entry before the Begrudgers, which was the Cavan entry that won.
It's not like the Rose of Tralee, though. There isn't just one from Cavan, one from Wicklow.
No, but like everyone from Cavan
was
behind it and also in it.
Right.
There was one a few years ago called Starfek. And Pat MacDonald was in it. And it actually got disqualified.
Really?
Because it qualified... And once they got it and got the budget, they just changed the plot entirely.
Wow.
So they got DQ'd.
Well, you see, I wouldn't do that. What I'd do is I'd just literally take
just
old episodes of Star Trek.
Just put Irish people in it.
And no, just cut it up and dub it. Like Soupy Norman.
Soupy Norman.
Yeah,
right.
Soupy Norman style.
Oh, that'd be great.
And then just have like, I don't know, man. Like, you know the opening bit where Picard or Kirk is given the, you know...
Captain's log.
Our mission. Da, 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 da. This is even in the opening.
Oh, yeah.
It could be like, you know, the Celtic Tiger never died after Dennis O'Brien's assassination in the far flung year of 2012. You know.
See us in court.
Yeah, the Irish have taken to space after winning back the six counties. trading it for some string in this alternate universe.
Got a taste for colonization. First it was the six counties, then it was space.
There you go, the United Federation of Counties. Perfect. And we've got the six back because of our booming tech sector, really led to warp drive very quickly.
And then we nabbed Scotland.
Yeah. It's 2012. We're taken to space.
First contact, someone over the border for cheap petrol.
Absolutely. I like the idea as well of just making Worf a traveller.
So funny.
But it'd be great.
Do you know who Worf is?
No.
It's a Klingon raised by humans, obviously. Security officer.
He's just really like aggro and lots of bling.
Right, he's one of the main...
One of the main lads in the next generation.
I'd recognise him.
Yeah, yeah.
I know who you're on about.
Bumpy forward.
Do you know Super
mix
Norman?
Mix up in space, having the crack.
Super Norman. You know there's
mix in space, having the crack. Data is a robot. Colin Meaney's out of his mind. Geordi's blind.
Perfect. There, we need to work on that, so.
There
we've
you
already go. Got the theme. Super Norman was a Polish soap that Tara Flynn and Barry Murphy and Mark Daugherty
so good.
Cut into like 10-minute clips and dubbed.
Right.
Always with the same scene at the end of Soupy Norman stumbling drunk in the front door.
But it was the only inclusion of Soupy Norman. Like, it's not about Soupy Norman other than the same exact scene.
Same scene.
And it was always the end of every episode. And it's genuinely
super funny. It's all on YouTube.
Okay. Yeah. Will you come on? Dublin will be closed.
Yeah.
It's really great.
So it's just them in like a Polish town, like, we're here in court.
And it just starts, the episode, very first episode, starts with the protagonist, a young woman, looking at a photo of presumably her mother, you know, and looking all sad. But the way they've dubbed over, it's like, after a hard day, there's nothing like staring at a photo of an old woman. Oh, it's fucking great. Check out Soupy Norman. Honestly, it's superb.
There we go. Question from Golden Hayes on Twitter, who asks, what's your favorite mineral? I don't know if they mean geological.
I don't know whether they know that in Ireland, mineral is a term for soft drink.
Yeah.
And is perhaps the dominant term.
Yeah.
Yeah, you having a mineral.
Yeah, rather than saying like a soda or a pop.
That's my impression of an Irish person.
You would say, what mineral? Have you got a mineral? Yeah. Do you agree with that? I would say mineral quicker than I would say a fizzy pop.
I wouldn't say fizzy pop.
But that's what why would you you'd say mineral.
I would say, give me one of them, I have one of them bubbling juices.
A bubbly juice.
A bubbling juice,
please.
A BJ, please.
This is why you're not allowed in bars anymore.
I only realised when you said it there how that could be misconstrued.
But yeah,
it can be.
But when you're abbreviating it.
Yeah, boy, I've made it. Tell you, I feel like a green bin on Black Bean Collection Day. Hearing that.
What?
Yeah, a green bin must feel terrible. Embarrassed must feel grim.
And do you know what? Only yesterday I brought the bins back in from the road. It was Black Bin Collection Day. Oh. I brought the green out. Oh. Black was fine. Green came back still full.
I tell you, when you do that, oh, what am I like?
If she
green bins be all like.
Green bins drive like this, but black bins drive like this.
I don't know if other countries have green bins or black bins, if it's a thing.
Green bin lives matter. Now, <here's>
oh dear,
we're
getting dangerously close to jokes that we can't make, but you might be able to make, Martin.
We have a brown bin, and it's never once been collected.
Yeah, we're definitely getting there.
No, no, I wasn't going to go anywhere other than I think it's for glass, and we just put loads of mulch and bits of twigs in it.
It's for earth.
It's for
biodegradable
stuff. Yeah.
Oh, so it was picked
up
that time.
You just put in glass.
Underneath all of the twigs.
Yeah,
I haven't seen it been in ages. It's still there?
No, it's gone.
Huh.
I got rid of it. It was never used.
And also, it just becomes really gross.
Yeah.
Really quickly.
Huh. Cool. Yeah.
And it was full, and it wasn't being collected. So
how did you get rid of it?
I can't remember. I was in a discussion.
Drove it out into the woods.
I'll be back in 20 minutes, bin.
You know, drove off. You know how your job is to look after the bins and the bin thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was me just doing your job at one point. Just got rid of, I can't remember why, but we got phone calls from them, from Panda, being like, what happened? I can't remember. Something happened where we needed a new bin. And, yeah. Something happened where we needed a new bin, and then they were
there
like...
There was a time we didn't pay our bin bills for 2 years.
Yeah, it might have been that.
You were dealing with them for that, because that's more of a John job. I'm not good at it.
I think that actually was what it was. Yeah. I think that was what it was. And then they were like... I mentioned at one point, oh, like, do we get the brown bin for that?
Mm.
And they were like, you're not supposed to have a brown bin. You haven't...
Oh, yeah.
And then...
That was it.
And then they took the brown bin away. But it was full of shite anyway, so they were welcome to it, like...
Jokes on them.
Yeah. Stuffed it full of plastic. That'll learn you.
There's a body in the bottom of that. Well,
that's my favourite mineral. You've answered that.
Yeah, I don't know. Quartz. I like a quartz. Tiger's eye.
Zinc.
Zinc. Ooh, yeah. Lovely. Mm.
I like a Fanta.
Yeah.
Very good. Yeah, do you know what I like? I like an Orangina. It's very pleasant.
Shake to awake.
Ah, that's great.
Good catchphrase.
Yeah.
It was just a question. No, I'm just. This is.
Do you know what was lovely when it was out? It was the pomegranate Fanta. It's very strong.
Once again, we play the game of who went to private school. It's the person who.
It's Fanta. It's hardly.
It's pomegranate
not,
mineral.
It's not fucking. It's not Prosecco. It's pomegranate Fanta.
I don't even know what a pomegranate is.
Pomegranate?
Yeah.
It's like a fruit.
Like a or is a?
Well, you're asking the wrong lad about fruit now, to be fair.
If you or anyone at home has been affected by pomegranate, pomegranate is my favorite mineral there. It's pom, the French for apple, and granite, right. The English for granite.
Yeah.
Apple granite. So.
Go for it.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Very, very pleased to say that this episode of the Stoneface Films podcast is brought to you by Loot Crate.
Loot Crate.
Loot Crate rocks, and here is why. It is the monthly mystery crate for pop culture fans, filled with incredible and exclusive items and apparel from your favorite TV shows, movies, games, and more. There's over $45 worth of value in every crate.
How much does it cost?
It costs €23.65, so a bit of a currency exchange there, but you go to a bureau de change, yeah. We'll work that right out. It's got the best and most exclusive licensed figures, t-shirts, home goods, and more. Treat yourself every month or give the gift of geeking out to a friend or a loved one. You can cancel your subscription at any time or feel free to skip a month and start back up again later. This month, so that's February's theme, is build. Roll up your sleeves and get ready to build. Celebrate some of pop culture's most put together franchises with this hands-on theme. Build ends on the 19th of this month at 9 p.m. Pacific time. So get in there, because if you miss it, it's gone and you will never get those sweet, sweet nerdy goods ever again anywhere else. So jump on, go to lootcrate.com/stoneface, and when you do, use the promo code BADLADS to get a couple of dollars off your purchase. We highly, highly recommend Loot Crate. In fact, I'm going to put in a little sweetener. If you send us proof that you have bought a Loot Crate subscription, you send us a little screenshot or something, I'll write you a poem of your own choice. You can
a limerick or an actual poem.
I will write you an 8 to 10 line poem, possibly shorter, about a theme of your choice. You can give me one word, and that'll be the theme of the poem.
Gonna get a whole load of orange and purple.
I look forward to it. Listen, go to lootcrate.com/stoneface. It lets them know that you're coming because you're repping the boys in Dublin. Use the promo code Bad Lads, you get a few quid off. And you know what? If you go ahead and purchase, when you go ahead and purchase, send us on to John at Stoneface Films proof that you have bought it, and I will write you a probably shitty poem. Back to us.
Emer Nifuelon asks, how do you think humans are going to evolve in the next few hundred years?
How do we think humans are going to evolve?
Yeah. In the next few hundred years.
I don't know.
Poorly?
What do you think?
Massive thumbs.
We're already getting fat thumbs.
Yeah.
And
divot fingers from like resting your phone and your finger.
Yeah, but that's not going to be an evolutionary trait.
Yeah, it's not going to.
That'll stay. they reckon that'll stay, and fat thumbs from playing video games.
Well, hold on. Unless that has a specific advantage that results in you procreating more, that's not going to have an evolutionary effect.
Yeah, man. Everyone who plays video games 20 Getting hours laid. A day gets their dick wet all the time.
Maybe an extra finger.
Yeah. I would say, unfortunately, the reality of the situation is that society is established in such a way which is counterintuitive to evolution. So the people who will be having the most children, generally speaking, are of a lower socioeconomic background, generally less educated. These are not opinions. This is demonstrable fact, right, where, you know, people... people at the higher end of the socioeconomic spectrum and the education spectrum are having fewer children than those who aren't, right? It's demonstrably true. It's not my opinion, or I don't think it's a good thing or a bad thing. It's just the way it is. So I would say, as a result, we'll probably get a bit thicker as a people. I would say that will probably be the most immediate evolutionary adaptation.
Hi-o!
Yeah. Put in the laugh great. Track now.
That was perfect. That was perfect. Yeah.
Martin, you're getting a permanent job.
I would say also probably that thing from South Park where, like, all the people from the future are all just...
homogenous.
They're all just, yeah, like, there's no racial divide. It's just everyone is like a...
beige.
Like a beige. With say we'll probably get there.
Hybrid language.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that'd be cool. An Esperanto. That isn't shite.
Is Esperanto not a fake language?
Well, yeah, but it was an attempt to make a universal language.
Oh, right,
language.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure, we've got the translator. We'll just get a universal...
We'll get. Oh, that'd be great.
It'd be great if we could evolve to, like, have a, like, instead of, like, just a normal hand, one of our hands is, like, a whisk. save time.
What if we evolve
for baking.
For, like, you know...
people who make cakes getting laid so left and right.
It turns out omelets are like the secret to like survive a long life. If you just whisk.
Wow.
Easy whisk.
Do you How do you like your eggs? Unfertilized and whisked.
Hi-o.
Everyone who's ever been on Great British Bake Off don't use rubbers. Like, it's a well-known fact.
That's why they've got the lesbian lady hosting it.
Did you know? Oh, yeah, I read that. Yeah.
Do you know an interesting fact about Mary Berry and her reproduction... her reproductive organs?
No.
Unknown interest, in fact?
Yes. Do I ever?
Mary Berry has two wombs. There you go. And polio, the big two. That's genuinely true. She has two wombs and polio.
Wow.
There you go.
Two wombs?
Yeah. Wow.
Is that like she ate a twin in the womb? Like
no, it's like double the pleasure, double the fun.
Two wombs Berry, so
are
they?
Two wombs Berry, they call her. Yeah, there you go. There's an interesting Mary Berry fact.
Oh, well, I just Googled two womb Berry.
Don't do that.
Yeah, well, I did it, right? And the headline was, Mary Berry, how my two wombs led to heartbreaking series of miscarriages. So, next headline, I couldn't understand why my mum wouldn't...
Hold on.
Wait, give it next again. Headline, Mary Berry, I couldn't understand why my mum wouldn't give me a cuddle.
Hi-o!
If nothing else, even if we can't make it every week, can we sample that and just drop it in?
I don't have a gong as well.
me and Rob both on our phones have the hip hop air horn. Remember, I played it at the
yes.
And occasionally with John Hayes.
Objectionable.
Me and Martin were doing a gig months ago, a pun gig, and I wrote all these stupid puns.
I can see you working for a pun gig, like a pun run.
But I did the stupid Dave Brubeck joke. Mm-hmm. And
that is a good joke.
It's a good joke, but it's a very, like, it's not a Saturday Night Comedy Club joke.
No, it is not.
And I was like, Martin, if any of these go bad, I'm just going to play this thing on my phone. And then after that Dave Brubeck one, I was like, I had to, like, get to the app, turn up the volume. Like, blah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Going to crack that at the pun gig. March 3rd?
March 3rd, yeah.
Yeah.
We take another question? What was the question we answered? How humans will evolve?
Evolutionary.
Yeah.
I think we covered that.
Yeah. Two wombs.
Two wombs and whisks for hands. You'll be left up by Vincent Price at the top of the hill, unfinished with whisks for hands. Then later, I go into the pastel-coloured town, start making cakes for all the old women.
In particular shapes.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Cake like a giraffe. Did you ever see... Where's oh my god, it's one of my favorite things in the entire world. The dude who The dude who, I can't remember what the name of the show was, but he was on like a 24-hour news show, and he had the same name as a guy on Twitter who's like a big advocate for Edward Snowden.
Right.
And but these two people have the same name, but one of them is like at that person's name, and the other one was at fart. Like literally at fart. And the news channel got on the wrong one.
Oh.
I'm going to bring it up if you'd be so good.
Yeah, absolutely.
I found this here. Can I play it for you?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So this is a guy, same name as a real Edward Snowden advocate. I hope I found the right place.
Today, so joining me now, John Hendren, who supports Edward Snowden. John, Twitter, they shut down ISIS accounts. Why do you think Snowden is any different, according to Pataki?
Oh, well, he's a hero. I mean, he's doing what any one of us should have done in that situation. He's got a voice. He's been isolated for so long. He's got valid things to say. I mean, we should listen to what he says.
But some people don't think he's a hero.
Well, they're wrong. I mean, he's doing the most patriotic possible thing. But I think to cast him out, to make him invalid in society, simply because he has scissors for hands, I mean, that's so strange. Because, I mean, people didn't get scared until he started sculpting shrubs into dinosaur shapes and whatnot.
All right, well, now Snowden's living in Russia. At Chris Zapp tweeted this: Dear Edward Snowden, what do you make of the massive Russian misinformation campaign going on? Listen, some people say it's hypocritical that Snowden has asylum in Russia. Russia has
not a clue. Paying no attention.
Well, yeah, casting him out is just completely wrong. We're treating him like an animal, like somebody who should be quarantined and put away. Just because he was created on top of a mountain by Vincent Price and incomplete with scissors for hands and no heart, Edward Scissorhands is a complete hero to me.
But what about the choice that he made to live in a country like Russia?
I mean, where else is he going to go? You know, we cast him out. Like, we got scared when he poked a hole in a waterbed with his scissor finger. Like, that was just unreasonable of us.
Well, John, I appreciate you giving us your opinion. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Listen, for more...
No attention paid whatsoever. I'm sorry that took a while, but I thought that was fucking incredible.
They were like, we need to get this expert on, but contacted the wrong guy.
The wrong guy. So the first one's name is John something something.
Hendrick or something, yeah.
John Hendrick, which is a real person who is an Iran advocate for Snowden. This is another John Hendrick who's at on Twitter is just at fart. And they got on at fart.
And he talked about Edward Snowden's.
Yep. That's beautiful.
Perfect. And even said it, like the name.
Loads.
I'm an advocate for Edward Snowden. Nothing.
So great.
I got contacted one time asking me if I'd come on like Carlo Radio or like some local thing because an Irish guy called Dave Riley had started writing for South Park.
Right.
And they were like, hey, could you come on and talk about what it's like to be...
Get away.
And I didn't see it for days, and I was fucking...
Was it an Irish dude working for South Park?
I think so, yeah.
Just but David Riley...
Yeah, and they just contacted the wrong one, and... Like, I still regret it. I would have loved it if it's gone on and, like, shat on the product.
Isn't the writer for First Dates or...
one of
Don't
the,
Tell the Bride?
Yeah, one of the producers, well. Yeah.
There you go. You get around, to be fair to you, David.
So many of us.
There's a lot of work.
John Hendren, very funny. So, yeah, at fart, that's very good.
Hey guys, this is Rob here, and I just wanted to let you know that my brand new album, All Things Must Pass by the Cooper Church Amendment, has now been released online after 9 months. So if you want to check out my Twitter, I've got the links on there, or if you want to go directly to thecooperchurchamendment.bandcamp.com. You can listen to it for free on there, or if you want to support some Irish music, you know, throw a few quid towards. It's only €7, and I really hope that you guys enjoy.
Here's a question from McMatts. I'm asking because she opens the question with a very interesting word. I know she's going for a sound effect, but she opens the tweet with poof.
hold on, is it P-U or...
It's P-O-O-F.
So P-O-O-F. I think that's...
But yeah. I just looked at it without context. I was like, whoa, you're coming on strong.
Yeah,
aggro.
Yeah.
Poof, you are a toy. What toy do you hope you are? What do you absolutely not want to be? Secretly hopes for Barbie Davy. I don't know. What's that?
Not Ken Davy. She didn't say Ken Davy. I want to actually apologize to McMatts because she was the one who said the oh, you're just making human pop vinyls now thing, which I thought was Fionn Cleary, but it was McMaths.
Sorry, FC.
So, sorry, FC, you got nothing.
Yeah.
McMaths is where it's at these days.
If you were, yeah, if you were a toy, what toy would you be?
I don't know, something small that, you know, a child could choke on.
Yeah, like a Lego Lego man.
Oh, Lego Man is a great one.
Little Lego Man, yeah, that is a good one. Oh, yeah,
Tremble, Little Lego Man.
Lego Batman.
It's a great song.
I'd like
to seen Lego Batman.
Haven't. I saw the Lego movie.
Did you enjoy the Lego movie?
I did.
I thought it was very good.
Lego Batman's very good.
Haven't seen it. Must bring Donna to it. Actually, she really wants to go see
not
it.
Not yet. I'm looking forward
good
to
stuff.
It.
Must go and see it.
John Wick 2 is the top of my list.
I haven't seen the first one yet.
Does Warhammer count as toys? Be careful. I wouldn't mind being a wee little Warhammer man. That'd be good crack.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Lego Man.
Oh, could I be one of the soldiers from Small Soldiers?
Sure. Which side?
One of the Gorgonites? No, definitely the humans. The fascists. The fascists out of Avatar. Like yeah. The guys who tear down all of Fern Gully. I want to be those guys.
Little racist me as a kid, before I seen Small Soldiers, just presumed that the humans were the good guys.
Right.
Because they weren't the other.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think that's the message of the film. Like,
yeah, and was very...
You're meant to be confronted by that realization.
It was good. It's a good film.
It is a good film. It is a good film. They play Spice Girls, right? Is it Spice Girls they play? Mental warfare? It's a real thing that the American government did in Waco and shit. Like playing Spice Girls, blaring Spice Girls into...
Yeah, they do it in Guantanamo.
It's a torture technique.
Westlife is one of the songs they use.
Yeah, but very like to adapt that into your children's film is a surprisingly canny move.
It's dated all right as well.
Mm. It looks okay. Like it doesn't look too bad.
Good work, whoever made it.
It was a really good.
Was it
PlayStation
Spielberg?
1
Am
game
I
as well?
Making that up?
I think that's it. Was definitely not Spielberg. I will check, but I don't think it was. I'd be surprised if. Spielberg is always very pro-military, so I don't know if he's going to...
Seen War Horse?
No, I have not seen War Horse, and I have no interest in it. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did do War Horse.
I saw the play, dog shit.
Directed
God
by
damn, it's horrific.
Joe Dante. Yeah, my father went and saw the play, and he said it was the worst piece of shit he's ever seen
the
in his
The horse is pretty
life.
Impressive.
Yeah, apparently the horse
that,
is lovely.
Dog shit.
Joe Dante directed...
Small Soldiers.
Small Soldiers. He also directed... Looney Tunes, Back in Actions. Gremlin 2, The New Batch, which is interesting because I happen to know that that's an Ellen Smithy film. So we clearly lost control of that at some point. There you go.
The Howling. Oh, he did the first Gremlins as well.
Oh, yeah.
Did he really?
That's fine.
The Burbs, Inner Space.
Yeah.
Inner Space is class.
Oh, he did Inner Space.
Oh, Owen was talking about that with me the other day. That's
it's the episode of Rick and Morty where they go inside.
Yeah. With Dennis Quaid and...
Yeah, exactly.
We were talking about Inner Space MMA.
Inner Space MMA?
Yeah, I can't remember the context, but it was something about shrinking people down and having them fight within bodies.
Do you know, actually, the smallest sculpture ever, supposedly, one of the smallest pieces, works of art, nano printing, right? And it was a sculpture of a woman, and it could balance on a single strand of human hair. It was that small. And it was crushed by the photographer.
Oh, God.
Took the guy 2 years to make, because he had to design the methodology of doing that. And, crushed by a dude photographing it with electron microscope.
Yeah.
And they were looking at it, and then he looked away, the artist looked away for a second, looked back down, and there was just a thumbprint where the sculpture had been.
That is, during... one of my projects in final year in IEDT was that I made a teddy bear alarm.
I remember that. That was a good idea.
Called Captain Teddy. It was a teddy bear with a sword, but he had a microprocessor inside him and an infrared bow tie. So if you walked in front of the infrared, he would send me a tweet being like, hey, boss, somebody's after strolling by or whatever. But I couldn't figure out how to work it on... the firewall in IEDT, so I couldn't demo it properly.
Right.
But the first lecturer who came in, he wasn't the lecturer who I had the demo with too, just one of the others, picked it up, and I was so bad at soldering, a bunch of the cables came out and it broke. So then every time anyone came over, it was like, ah, man, sorry, Rupert broke it earlier. I'm like, oh, that's a shame. So I, for the demo, I ran a screenshotted like a video capture thing I had done at home of it working.
Right.
So I just was like, "Yeah, I'll show you it working now," and covered the screen. I was like, "Hit play and make sure all the play bars and everything went down," and just sort of just faked it. Just waved my hand over it when I knew in the video.
Fair play.
Yeah, proed it.
But yeah, good work.
I feel like that's comparable to me making a teddy bear alarm and the world's smallest sculpture being crushed.
Well, you could have just, I mean, effectively what you did there was you could have just gotten any teddy bear.
Mm-hmm.
Not done anything with it.
Yeah.
Flown through the degree. Yeah. Oh, well.
Well, I did a presentation at IDT in like third year, and me and a friend were very competitive over sort of presentations in that, like, we'd go, who has the better background for our slideshow?
Right.
That kind of thing. And anyway, like, he worked really hard. I'm very lazy, so I did very little work. But so for my presentation, it was on, like, I think it was gun crime in America or whatever, or police racism or something like that. Anyway, there's this, like, I put a cartoon in, a satirical cartoon, and then there's some other point where I showed some video, and, like, I had a joke for it. I told a joke in my presentation. Anyway, he worked really hard, really well-researched presentation. He got a B, I got a B+. And then in our feedback, like, his was like, "Oh, really well researched, great work, all this." Mine was, "Worked the crowd very well."
It's the skills. It's
the skills, you know.
I remember I had to demo, because, like, I started doing comedy to get over a fear of public speaking. But in anything other than comedy, I can't do it, because you're getting laughs, so you know how you're doing. So I was doing a presentation when I was in third year, and I had to, like, show off this website. And I open with, like, this stupid joke. I'm like, "Oh, you know, I programmed this using ActionScript 3, the sequel to the ever-popular ActionScript franchise." Nothing. I was like, "Oh, if the programming jokes aren't going to..." And then one of the placeholder images I had for... It was a website about the dangers of drinking. It was like we were assigned it. I had a screenshot from the video of David Hasselhoff. Like,
oh, the burger.
Just, like, on the ground, half a burger in his mouth. And I was like, "This will be funny to put in." And so I was like, "Next screenshot." Nobody even, like, chuckled. And then lecturer was like, "And what's the image?" I'm like, it's David Hasselhoff. I was just fucking horrible. I froze up so bad. And I just had, like, 30 seconds of talking about the slide as this giant photo of David Hasselhoff shirtless, half passed out. It's like...
comedian Alan Hurley, when he was in college, he put in subliminal messaging in his presentations. So he was doing, like, this big at the end of his, I think it was engineering.
Yeah.
And then, isn't it engineer for you?
Comedian Alan Hurley.
He's like doing his presentation, and then, like, for a split second, it flashed up, "Give me an A."
Fair play.
Wonder if it worked.
No, they had to have a word. Had a word with them afterwards.
They had to have a word.
We were doing, me and Ryan did this drink or like a road safety ad, tender thing before Christmas. And they sent us like these New Zealand clips to look up. They were like, "We're starting to base it kind of off the New Zealand model." And Ryan clicked through some of the other New Zealand road safety drink driving videos. And there was one where it was like a taxi driver was set up that it was a fake taxi driver who was acting drunk. And it was like filming the passengers, right? So it was always the passion, like, "Can I please get out? Like, I need to get out." And Alan Hurley was one of the passengers. Alan used to live in New Zealand. And he was the only person who didn't say anything to the driver at all. He was just chill with his driver. Like, he managed to keep increasing how hammered he was acting. And Alan was like, "No, you're grand, yeah." Like, it's just the most, like, of course, it was just an Irish guy. It was the person chilling with the taxi driver being hammered.
Jesus, do you remember our mountain drive through Cannes? Dear, oh dear. We won't do that again.
Yeah.
No names, no nothing.
We were getting a lift back when we were over in Cannes in 2014. We were getting a lift back to the village we were staying in along, like, a cliffside, like, really gorgeous sort of French Riviera road, but it was
gorgeous
nighttime.
When the driver is sober.
It was quite stormy out. Driver was drunk. I would not fucking stop playing Blurred Lines by Robin Thicke.
Everything was going wrong. Like, this is so,
like,
a bad
to the
scene.
Left, just sheer drop into the sea to the right, cliff
and
face.
And was bombing so it, and we kept being like, hey, you want to slow down? Oh, you could slow down a little bit, that'd be cool. And it was literally the most terrifying thing.
So terrifying, yeah.
By the end of it, we got very close to just being like, it was a really bad decision. It was a bad decision, but problem was, it was that or...
Walk on that dangerous dark road.
Back 30 miles, like, you know what I mean? Like, there was one taxi in Thiel Sur Mer, and it just wouldn't come. And then the bus only... there was a train, but the train wouldn't come either. It wasn't coming until the next day, and it was a whole deal. Anyway, listen, sure here. Cannes is not a great place for the public transport. It's kind of reliant on chauffeurs and, like, rich pricks, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. What toy... Oh, we all settled
small
on stuff.
Small soldiers. Blasting people who are different... To be fair, one of them is just an eyeball with legs.
Yeah.
You don't trust him.
Fionn Cleary asks, what are pogs?
What are pogs?
Yeah.
I just don't know.
Ah, Fionn, come on now. I know you're a young lad, but... What are you? Well, he must have... 18. Ah, come on now, Fionn. You need to know your pogs. Do you want to describe... Martin, will you describe pogs for Fionn? You don't know what pogs are either.
I only learned how to play pogs like 2 years ago.
Man,
I had loads of them. I just didn't know what they were for.
What age are you, Martin?
I'm 22.
Jesus Christ.
23 next month.
Wow. Ugh.
Quite young.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm 28, and that feels like a lot older.
Yeah.
Like, I know, you know.
I don't know how to play. Like, you just push down the flip them or something.
Okay, so they were little cardboard discs, and you'd pile them in a thing, and then you had a really heavy plastic one called a slammer, and you'd hit that at the top, and depending on how many you piled up was like how many you were betting. So you could pile up like 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 6. You'd throw the slammer, and then if they flipped over, then you got to keep those pogs. So it was like a continuous trading thing where you were winning and losing pogs to all the kids on the playground.
Okay. When was like the peak time of the pog?
I'd say 95, maybe 96 was peak pog time.
Right. No, when did it say, sort of stop?
97. they didn't last long, but they were... I mean, you know, pogs never had the same resurgence that, like, a yo-yos did.
Right.
Like, yo-yos felt like they came back every couple of years.
Yeah. Remember Opal Fruits, pre-Starburst.
Yeah.
They had a big yo-yo.
But so did Skittles. I've still got a Skittles yo-yo.
I mean, there was the same brand. Do you remember that?
Which?
There was all the sweets.
No, when they'd I was be like, one of those would
all
come
released
and
a yo-yo thing.
Yeah.
And yo-yos just became mad popular again because of that.
Like, groups came around to primary school and
like,
stuff. Yeah.
Rock the cradle.
And there was that guy Yoz who would always pop up on TV shows. He's like, world's best yo-yoist.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I wonder what he's doing now.
Getting his dick sucked.
Now. He is definitely on the other end of that act for coin.
Or just yo-yos.
Yo-yo.
Just rolling that yo-yo up and down.
But yeah, I've still got my Skittles.
Your Skittles one. I was really jealous because I have a yo-yo in my bedside locker actually that I think my mum got me for Christmas like 2 years ago.
It's really funny because this Skittles one has like professional grade on it. It's just like, come on, man. It's just a yo-yo.
I never yo-yoed.
You never yo-yoed?
No.
Could you yo? Like, but you could it go down?
Not a single, no.
Not.
Yeah. Well, I've never tried.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, never had a yo-yo.
Never attempted to yo.
No, I was too busy banging.
Oh,
that kind of thing. Hi, ho.
I think that's well asked and answered, Fionn.
Yeah.
Remember pogo sticks?
Yes.
Yeah.
They also had a bit of a resurgence.
They did, yeah. I always found them wanting. Like, they were no faster than walking.
Oh, yeah, I would never have considered one as a mode of transport.
Yeah, but that's what they were intended to be. I mean...
Yeah.
Walking, you weren't supposed more to just tiring. Pogo in place.
Pogoing in place was more difficult than pogoing forward.
That can't be true.
Nah, pogoing forward was easier because you didn't need as good a balance.
Yeah.
No way.
You just lent...
Nah. Well, to be honest with you, I could never pogo.
Pogoing backwards was the easiest thing to do because it was just delaying your falling. Yeah.
Do you know who's great? Pogo, the musician on YouTube. He's
Pogo's very good. Yeah.
Oh, he's great.
Check out some Pogo.
Pogo by Digitalism is a very good song.
His Alice is incredible. All his Harry Potter ones are incredible.
Yeah.
You ever listen to Pogo on YouTube?
Nope.
It's really check him out. He's genuinely does remixes of like Disney songs, but he doesn't like take the music, he just finds notes in patterns of speech in like dialogue and stuff.
Yeah.
And then cuts them together in really it's like, massively pleasing cassette ways. Boy.
Yeah.
Like a bit like Cassette Boy for notes relaxing. Rather than
yeah.
dialogue, if that makes sense.
So I looked up professional yo-yo player, finally found a Wikipedia page
yo-yo
for
Ma,
one.
The cello player.
Yeah. Steve Brown is an award-winning competitive yo-yo player. Yo-yo player is seemingly the term, because it's a game.
Not yo-yoist.
Yeah. Known for creating freehand yo-yo play. Competition judge, yo-yo designer, and yo-yo blogger, currently based out of North Olmsted, Ohio, yo-yo capital of Ohio. currently the editor of yoyonews.com and co-producer of Triple Crown. Now, this Wikipedia article goes from hyphenating yo-yo to not hyphenating it quite a lot.
Wikipedia.
Yeah. He also worked as a consultant on his skill with yo-yos also landed him a job as a stuntman on the 2001 movie Zoolander. Because there was yo-yos in it. Owen Wilson's character.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Did
yeah.
some yo-yo stuff. Right. So he needed a stunt coordinator. Okay, right. And he was also a consultant on The Lone Ranger.
Sure.
Oh, pocket watch tricks. Yeah, I suppose that would...
Like, surely that's not, like, his only job.
Yeah.
Surely he's just yo-yo.
To be.
Really.
How is he... What's the ad revenue on yoyonews.com? What are their clicks per... Oh, he's retired from being competitive. He got jaded.
It's because there's no one else.
You know,
it's just him.
Now he's a judge.
For all the up-and-comers.
Exactly.
With the greatest respect in the world, I'm so bored listening to this lad.
Yeah. No, this... Oh.
His life is upsetting. Should we take another question?
Can we go back to Mary Berry's miscarriages? None of this yo-yo banter.
She made something of herself, you know. Polio and all.
Just not children. And she has.
Sorry, hold on.
Hi-yo. It's like a depressed one.
She's got grandkids because they help her bake because of
her
polio hands.
She does. It's very sweet, actually, on her own show because she has polio in the hands and stuff.
She's the only person in the world with polio.
I had a teacher in school that had polio. But anyway, her granddaughters do all the whisking and all that stuff for her in her show. It's very sweet.
A question from Shelley Yu. What mystery of the world do you wish you knew the answer to? Like, WTF is Stonehenge or Banksy's true identity?
Who the fuck built a Stonehenge?
Yeah. What's that?
Yelvis, you remember them?
Oh, yeah.
They did What Did the Fox Say?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But that's their worst thing.
But they were
like
a comedy.
All their other things are really, actually,
they did
genuinely
that
very good.
A song about, like, the Finnish foreign minister or something.
Yeah, it's so good.
The defense minister.
That's so good. What's his name? I wish I was Jenny Gillan. that's really, really great. Yeah, that's really funny.
I was telling you about this podcast earlier, the Myths and Legends. But one of the ones I listened to yesterday dealt with Stonehenge.
Oh, yeah?
That Merlin and a bunch of lads came over to Ireland because they'd heard these giants had magic stones that if you washed them and then drank the water or bathed in the water that you washed the stones with, you would heal yourself.
Yeah, very true.
So they went over and were like, here...
You can't move for them.
Yeah. So then they were like, well, giants, we're going to take your rocks. And they were like, you can fuck off. And they're like, kill.
The Tooth of Donna.
Yeah. Then Merlin magicked them so that they were really light so that one person could carry a rock, put them on the ship, brought them back to Stonehenge. Uther Pendragon was like, put them in this formation and put a tomb in the middle because that's not foreshadowing. And then he made them heavy again. And that's how Stonehenge came about.
It wasn't.
I know. but that's... I hadn't heard any...
Any myths
origin
surrounding
story.
It. Yeah, no, that's
other
the first I've heard of that.
They were nicked from Ireland.
Fucking so. Merlin gets... Well, they were taken from Wales. The actual stone was 46 miles
dragged shit, yeah.
from the site in Wales where that type of stone is available.
I like the agenda of coming over here,
taking
our
rocks,
our magic, all
taking our magic
rocks.
Giant rocks.
Uther Pendragon is allegedly buried now in the middle, in the tomb. He was like, I'll put a tomb here for no reason.
Was he the soul singer?
Yeah. Uther Vandross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know we got all night. Let's build the rocks.
The father of King Arthur.
That was him, actually, after a stroke.
he could only pronounce Vandross as Pendragon because of the facial palsy.
Very good. Mysteries that we'd like to know, we'd like to have explained to us. What do you think, guys?
I'm desperate to know what makes magicians so confident. Generally, I've never met a magician.
There is
someone so confident.
That is a great
dead
great
behind the eyes.
Martin, normally. I know you haven't listened to this before. We shut on magicians all of the time.
Really?
They're the worst people.
Oh, they really
they're
liars
the worst.
With props.
Lying with props. Yeah, that's all it is. Yeah. It's they're the worst. If there's any magicians out there, stop listening. You're not
get a hair
worthy.
Cut.
Yeah.
Yeah, sort your hair out.
Sort your hair out. You look a fool.
If you ever just look at someone, you're like, see, bet they dabble.
Yeah. I bet he has a deck of cards on him.
Yeah.
Oh, we know someone very well who...
I still believe he's a magician, despite...
He looks exactly like a magician. He's not a magician. He's a very nice man. But
long hair, waistcoats, schmig.
You can't take him seriously, because whenever you're waiting for him to take a fucking coin behind your ear... You know?
Always checking your watch. Right. Always. Still there.
Yeah.
Why do you not like magicians?
For the reasons you've explained. I mean,
they're con men. Darren Brown is the good magician.
No, I like a con man, don't get me wrong.
Because Darren Brown is like, I'm conning you guys. Mm-hmm. And you're like, God damn it. But when it's like, the mystic arts, you're like, oh, fuck off. Like,
it's David Blaine with an eye on his hand.
You're like, we've all bought incense and Asha at one stage. Doesn't mean we're qualified to, invoke Eastern mysticism.
Yeah.
I'd love to know how they... got the fig in the fig rock.
I was going to say that. Yeah. I was wondering how niche that would be.
Yeah.
John Figgerty, he was the man who looked after the fig rolls.
Is that right?
Well, that's what
that's why they call them fig rolls.
My fourth class teacher used to always be like,
it's actually apricots.
John Figgerty.
It
is it? Yeah, instead of figs.
Named after John Figgerty.
I had a teacher when I was like eight used to always talk about John Figgerty putting the figs in the fig rolls. And we were like, we are eight? You're talking about an ad campaign from the 60s. This is how I'd put you.
We're talking about an ad campaign from the 60s on our podcast, for God's sake. You brought it up.
I wonder why Wright said Fred never had a proper follow-up hit. Too sexy.
Yeah.
They had one other one, didn't they?
Did they? To my knowledge.
I'll bring it up on the...
They probably had like a 2000 disco remix that every 80s band seemed to have around the millennium.
They just seemed like more than a one-hit wonder to me. I don't know why.
They had the confidence of a band that had longevity.
Yeah.
If there's one thing you can say about Right Said Fred, it's that they had confidence.
And that they were too sexy.
Yeah.
Maybe they were too sexy for follow-ups. They set the bar so high. Oh,
yeah. Love for All the Seasons. Love for All Seasons. Oh, Deeply Dippy. Now, that was their second hit.
Deeply Dippy about the clothes you wear. You know that song? That's a great... That's a better song than Too Sexy. There's just a really nice...
Head, no tale of fashion. I'll put it on.
That was an impression of lead singer of Right Said Fred after his
Fred.
Left side stroke.
Deeply droopy. That's a great tune. Well, listen, I've had a huge amount of fun, and I really hope the listener has as well. Thank you very, very much to Martin for being here.
No worries.
We really appreciate it. You were a lot of fun. Thank you for being here, Martin. Check out Martin Angolo on Facebook and any other social media things that you choose to engage with in the coming weeks and months.
It won't happen, but Facebook. Martin
Facebook it is. Thank you very, very much, Martin Angolo, everyone. Thank you also to the engineer of Sentinel Audio Productions. I can't remember what we called you.
It was the surname.
Shepherd from Atlantis.
There you go. Shepherd from Atlantis, Mr. Rob O'Sullivan of Sentinel Audio Productions.
Bye, everybody.
Finally, thank you very much to the comedian who couldn't be here today because... What were you doing?
I don't know. Did you say Anton?
Oh, I did. He's setting sail for a sea of passion now. Mr.
Goodbye,
David Riley.
Folks.
My name is John Hosier Byrne. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you. See you again. Bye bye.
Thank you very much for listening to the Stoneface Films podcast, produced by Sentinel Audio Productions, the finest productions in audio, named after a type of Jedi. Am I right, Rob? There you go, he's not mic'd, but you'll love him anyway. Huge double thank you has to go out, of course, to our patrons on Patreon, with whom we could not continue to get this podcast out to you directly to your ear holes for free. So we really, really appreciate their continued support. Starting with the ensigns on the USS Best Friends, boldly going to where podcasts have never been before, Sam Sweeney Saya, Charles C. Kirkman, Jess Angell, and Jamie Pomerleau. Pomerleau, pleasure to have you on board, Jamie. Thank you very much. I like your hair. It seems very blue. Thank you as well to our Knights of the Sainsbury's car park, Alice and Sir Lard Flames, the spud loser himself. We hugely appreciate your support. Thank you especially, of course, to the small council of King Robert the Hand. There he is, Rob. How's the hands doing?
Yeah, not too bad.
They're doing well. Luke Bruton, Shelley Umla and Dawn Smith, thank you so much for your continued support. Dawn, in particular, thank you for those hats. They are very cozy. And who could forget the stars of the constellation Aldrin's Mickey, Lizzie and John Oldman Byrne, and the couple of people who would like to remain anonymous. Thank you so much for your time and support and consideration. We hugely, hugely appreciate it. And please do keep supporting the Stoneface Films podcast. We love you all dearly. Thanks very much.
You've been listening to the Stoneface Films podcast, hosted by John Hosier Byrne, David Riley and Rob O'Sullivan. The show is produced by Rob O'Sullivan of Sentinel Audio Productions. You can find out more about the show, our companies, and upcoming podcasts at stonefacefilms.com and at sentinelaudio.com. Our opening theme is by Lazy Itis, and all other music is by the Cooper Church Amendment. You can get involved in future shows by sending questions and messages to the Stoneface Films Twitter, at Stoneface Films. If you could take the time to rate and review the show on iTunes and Stitcher, we'd really appreciate it. We thank you all for your continued support of this podcast, and we'll talk to you next time. This show is part of the Sentinel Audio Podcast Network.